Man, every day after school, my friends and I would get off the bus, go to Mike Scrivener, you don't know Mike, but he's a great guy.
Oh, Mike, yeah.
Mike!
Yeah,
go to
yeah.
Mike Scrivener's house and play GoldenEye. And for hours upon hours, we were the kids who told our parents, oh yeah, we're at our friend's house this weekend, and we were actually at our friend's house this weekend. We were not partying, we were not drinking, we were not smoking. That would come later. We would just be playing GoldenEye.
Hi, I'm Jamin Warren, and this is the 256 Podcast. 256 is a marketing agency that prepares brands for the future of play and interactivity. We spend a lot of time talking to clients and partners about games, and so we thought, what if we brought more of those conversations to more people? Even if you're not in the gaming space, this podcast is for you. We bring in guests for quick, insightful conversations on how and why games are more relevant than ever, in culture, but also in marketing. Hopefully, you'll walk away with a better understanding of why play matters. In this episode, we speak to Alexis Ohanian, the co-founder of Reddit and Initialize Capital, a venture capital fund, and the owner of the esports organization Cloud9. This conversation was recorded live on stage in New York City at the second annual 256 conference. We spoke to Alexis about how he started programming, thanks to games, of course, gaming and online communities, and the changing definition of who gamers are. Our conversation started with Alexis's love of EverQuest, a fantasy-themed, massive multiplayer online role-playing game. It's filled with epic quests, dungeon battles, and spellcasting.
The only times I skipped school, like I'm feeling sick, were to play EverQuest.
But there was like a leadership element.
Yes.
Too. I was wondering what you learned. Right. So running a guild. I was wondering what you learned about leadership at a young age.
I mean, so imagine, right? Like I didn't have a ton of leader. Like I wasn't leading clubs in high school. I fell out of the Boy Scouts really quickly. So this was my leadership opportunity. I didn't put it on my resume. Maybe I should have. But but I saw firsthand what could happen, whether it was with that Quake 2 clan, and we would eventually start our own, or these EverQuest guilds. You know, whether I was, so I played a half-elf bard.
Right, naturally.
Level 52 half-elf bard, female, actually. And people ask me about that, because for whatever reason, the whole EverQuest thing comes up from time to time. And I don't know why. But I found myself like playing music, and mind you, when you played music, like no music actually played, you're just your animation. Speaking of animation, this was pretty old school, right? So you're just like flailing on the lute, and these blue notes would fly out. And I would perform at weddings for guildmates who were getting married. And there I was, right? 16, and I'm like, this isn't that weird. I couldn't explain it to my parents, but I was like, it's not that weird. Like, my buddy John was a dwarven, was it cleric or priest in that game? I don't remember, but, you know, caster, holy man, holy dwarf. And he presided over the ceremony.
And of this wedding ceremony?
Of this wedding of our guild, of one of our guild leaders and his wife.
Did they stay together?
As far as I know, yes.
They're happy somewhere.
As far as I know. Although I think they were getting married in real life. But the point is, here I was seeing this stuff, and it helped me understand that, you know, even though we all have these silly names, we have relationships. We have real relationships.
Right.
Like, it was not that weird for me to conceive of two people falling in love, playing a video game, and getting married in a digital world. Like,
right.
it was a little weird, but I was like, yeah, okay. Like, I can believe this. And then when you started seeing huge coordinated efforts that it takes to run a guild or a clan, you're like, holy shit, like, people actually can coordinate like this and never meet each other, never know each other, never know what each other looks like.
Right,
and
right.
They could be doing it in character. And it's just, it was amazing. And certainly helped pave the way for, you know, later endeavors.
When did you first start programming?
If you can count HTML.
Sure. Or just, I guess, when did you first start getting interested in creating new things?
It was,
being a part of new things?
It was as soon as, I mean, right, I see the counter go up on my GeoCities Quake 2 fan page, and I was
right.
like, oh my god!
Yeah,
oh
you,
my
you
god,
were very involved in,
overseeing
in
my
like
website.
Modding and things like that,
yes,
right?
Action Quake, oh man. So you dip in, right, you get a little bit of HTML, and then you start making your clan's website, and then you're reading Planet Quake every day, and this is modding culture. The modding, obviously we all know Counter-Strike, right, came out of just a bunch of random people making a mod that kind of changed the gaming world. But there were so many of these at the time. And then, you know, to the credit of Carmack and id, you could just download the source and start building. And then here I am sitting there. I'm like, here's a game I spent all this time playing, and it looks so professional and amazing. And look, I can mess with the source code, and I can build stuff.
Right. Was this the first time that you had started like tinkering behind the scenes with something?
And it felt so wild. You know, I'd be taking Pascal classes in high school. At the time, my high school taught Basic and Pascal, and neither of those were very robust languages. I mean, pretty cool. But I'm still looking at text all the time. And this was the first time I could actually sort of get a sense for like, oh wait, there are these 3D models and I can manipulate them and I can upload a skin and make a custom avatar and it's gonna look terrible, but I can learn this stuff. And what's so wild is when it's demystified like that and you get a taste for it, oh man, it's like a drug. Yeah. 'Cause then you're just like, oh, well, if some other carbon-based life form was able to build this, like maybe I could, like, and how do I learn? Well, if I start searching for it, someone's made a tutorial because they're better at it than I am. And and that thing has never, it's never gone away.
Yeah, apparently not, because if we go on your, this is part of your webpage for Das Kapital.
Das Kapital Capital.
Right, you know. Das Kapital Capital. And you have this little note at the bottom that you offer investment advising, but also Quake 2 railgun tutorials to startups.
I used to be really great with the railgun.
Yeah.
I don't want to brag. But
has Rock anyone Arena, taken you up on your services?
No. That's because they're intimidated, or they're like, what's a Quake 2?
Right.
Which breaks my heart a little.
Right. Let's just talk about like, getting a check or something like that.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because there is a generation before video games. I mean, I was so fortunate in the time that I came up, but like I think everyone here in this audience has memories, like life memories associated to playing video games, whether they were multiplayer or single player, right? I've got the memory of beating this guy B2, who was a member of Thresh's clan in Rocket Arena, and it was just like this guy was leet, all right? And I was able to actually beat him in like 7 rounds, and I have a screenshot of it since lost, unfortunately, so you have to take my word for it. This is like, I suspect, athletes or former athletes talk about that great home run or that great touchdown, but I have these memories around video games, and I suspect we all do too. It's such a delight because I know my grandfather never could have even formed these memories, right? Because the medium was not even there. How awesome is that?
Let's fast forward. I want to fast forward a little bit to the early days of Reddit, and I was curious, so, what that was like, and give a little bit of backstory about like what the initial seed of an idea was for Reddit.
So that's me and Steve. You can tell I really loved mascots because this was on the first day of Reddit, basically. We were in this group of Y Combinator startups, and this was like class photo day. And you can see I'm already wearing a t-shirt with our mascot on it, even though we hadn't built a product yet. We knew we wanted to recreate this kind of forum software that we had grown up with. It was always very disparate, right? I mean, whether if it goes back to Usenet or just all the different types of message boards or like, for instance, PHPB forums, they were all this disparate network, and we thought we could build a better platform where anyone could just quickly spin up a forum or a subreddit, and then people could submit links and vote on them. And Steve brilliantly was the one who engineered that hotness algorithm that kind of made it all what it was.
And it's been pretty influential like in the world of gaming. You sent this over to me. This is the first
R gaming post.
Yes.
Yeah, we first rolled it out and we did it very slowly because in whatever, like 2005, 2006, it was still a pretty new idea, and it takes a while to get a critical mass of people on a subreddit submitting and commenting and a moderator team. Like that stuff does not happen quickly. And so we rolled these out slowly as the community grew and started to demand it. So our programming was an early one, our gaming was not long thereafter, our science, a couple of these other major ones. But all this stuff has happened because we built a technology that was kind of straightforward enough for anyone to kind of spin up a community. And it's wild because I see this back then and I'm just like, whoa. Like, I still remember wondering for many years if this would even work or if Steve and I were just crazy.
Did this, like, the involvement in the community of Reddit, did it remind you at all of like the times you'd spent like doing EverQuest or being part of a...
Yeah, because you... And especially, I think, above all, like I said, whether I was, you know, playing music at a digital wedding or whether I was collaborating with teammates all over the country, I took very seriously what could happen when a bunch of people who are, you know, just a part of an online forum or online community can collaborate to work together. And like, there were a lot of people in 2005 who were very skeptical of the fact that people would be willing to take all of this time. Actually, Jason Calcanis' post that I recently stumbled on yesterday, about how crowdsourcing is dead, and this was 2005, 2006, because he believed no one would be willing to take the time to curate, to submit, to vote, to do any of this stuff that we now take for granted in social media unless they were getting paid. And for me and Steve, growing up on these online forums, on these online communities, right, we knew that was malarkey because ain't nobody was getting paid for Action Quake 2 or Counter-Strike.
Right.
But the spirit of it, the motivation behind putting in so much time, even the open source, you could tell Calcanis was not a developer because even the open source software that made possible stuff like Reddit and the entire Web 2.0 boom exists because people get fulfilled in ways that are not always money.
Right.
And I think it took not him and plenty of other people who have gone on to do even bigger things than Reddit to show that no, actually, people are willing to put this kind of time in.
One of the places, you know, other things that Reddit's known for is like being able to experiment with identity. Last year at the conference, we had Chris Poole, founded 4chan, and one of the things that Chris had said was Google and Facebook would have you believe that you're a mirror, but in fact, we're more like diamonds. And I was curious, you said that you mentioned earlier that you had played as a female in EverQuest.
Half elf. I am human in life.
Right. I was curious how like your early role in games helped crystallize some of the thoughts about being able to manage multiple identities, because it seems like that's such a big part of what Reddit is. You don't use your real name. And
the entire pseudonymous/anonymous web. That's why it's such an important part. That's why I don't think it'll ever go away. I can't articulate it as well as Chris did there. But yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know why I played female characters in World of Warcraft and EverQuest. I just did. I think for a lot of people in particular, certainly not people. All right, it is very clear to me how important the roles of pseudonymity and anonymity are in the digital world, whether we are gaming or whether we are online, because it lets people choose who they want to be and do what they want to do and explore who they are and interactions with other people in a way that they feel liberated for, right? In a way that they couldn't necessarily express themselves in front of friends or family or, you know, with their name and photo next to the comment.
Right.
I think what gaming does, and the industry certainly has come a long way, you know, especially now that, you know, majority of gamers are female, but there's still, I think, so much more to be done.
Yeah.
And I hope that becomes the next step, because I know how one and a half dimensional gaming was for me growing up. Like, it was very clear, the common, I know I'm rescuing a princess. I know, like, there were very clear models around those games. That's what they were.
Right.
And we have an opportunity now, I think, because the industry is so much broader, because we are getting, I hope, sort of like the software that we as a broad category of gamers demand. I hope that expands.
Yeah, well, that's it. That's 256. Give Alexis another round of applause.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alexis. Thank you so much.
Pleasure.
And thank you for listening to the 256 podcast, where we talk about the future of play and interactivity. This podcast is produced by Trisha Tonko with help from Anthony Martinez and music by Lucene. If you like this show, tell your friends and colleagues. And please leave us a rating on iTunes or wherever you listen. I'd also love to hear from you. You can find me, Jamin Warren, on Twitter at JAMINWAR. You can also find 256, that's also spelled out, on Twitter and at 256podcast.co, where you can sign up for our newsletter. Thanks so much and take care.